Today on Real Life Radio.
What drives hatred? Envy. When your heart's wicked, you're envious. And when you're envious, your heart's wicked. And people have killed over envy. The Bible says they crucified Jesus because they envied him.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, in our desire to pursue God, we often find ourselves wondering how to do it in this fast-paced world. Well, I think our current featured resource is really going to help. It's called The Pursuit of God, a beloved classic by the late pastor and evangelist A.W. Tozer. The Pursuit of God is the fruit of Tozer's spiritual exploration into the essence of God's nature, and it'll help you on your own journey towards God. With well over a million copies sold, recapture the radiant wonder that comes from having faith in Christ and a desire for God above all. The Pursuit of God is a must-read if you want the power and blessing that comes from seeking God at the highest possible level of fulfillment.
The Pursuit of God is a book that I have to read at least once, sometimes twice a year. It is so good, and you'll love it.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Futures with a message titled, What We Know for Sure, Part 2. This series is a study in what the Bible says about heaven, about the future, and why it matters in our lives today. You see, there are faith-building passages in the Bible that speak of the future with 100% accuracy. Knowing God's Word gives us the assurance that God is working toward an ending on earth and the beginning of eternity. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that what we know for sure is all eyes are off America and on Israel. Just the name of this country causes world leaders to worry and many theologians to stumble over its existence. Now, with his message called What We Know for Sure, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We are Jesus' ambassadors, says the Bible. We're deployed all around the world as believers. And the fact of the matter is this, we're trying to share the gospel with people, we're trying to communicate the truth, and the enemy wants to mess that up constantly with false teaching, false prophets, false faith, and to confuse someone's ability to come to the knowledge of Christ, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The enemy hates that. Jesus died on the cross for our sins to set us free. The enemy hates that. That's why he floods you with allurements and lust and pride and desire. Those are not cute things or things that you can hold in your breast for a moment and not be burned. They are demonically driven by a world of darkness invisible to our eyes that want to seek your soul and pull you into the pit. Why is that important? That's how much Satan hates you and God. You're the prize. And thus Bible prophecy makes its claims to us, and it's awesome and comforting. Don't need to belabor it. Last time together, we argued this, that regarding what we know for sure is that the world now is being turned to all eyes on God. People are waking up around the world at this time to consider God. People are tuning in. People are reading their Bibles. The biggest download of Christian data, as I've been telling you over and over again, during the year 2020 has been the nation of Iran, Persia. Gospel going all over the world. Billions of people reading Bible online. What's up? Something's happening. And God has delivered this opportunity at an age like this where technology can be used. We're living in a miracle right now. And I don't want you to miss the day of your visitation. This is an epic moment. You want to get on board. You want to find out, God, what do you want to do next? God, please don't do it without me. Don't you want to pray that prayer? God, whatever you're going to do, I don't care. Just don't do it without me. Don't you want that? Yeah. Wouldn't it be bummer if God said, well, I would have loved to have used you, but you didn't recognize the day of your visitation, so I went down the street. Oh, my goodness. That'd break my heart. And then we saw last time, this did not go over big. I could tell by the mail I got in the comments. The second thing is, what do we know for sure? All eyes off America. So how dare you say that? Oh, I'm just getting started. Listen, you can't insult the God of heaven in the United States and expect him to hang around. He's not a punching bag. You can't throw him out of college. You can't throw him out of court. You can't throw him out of school. You can't throw God out of the public square. You can't throw God out of the textbooks and then expect him to send rain or to make our economy work. It's not going to happen. He's patient. He's been patient for decades. But it is very evident. Time's up. The United States of America, listen, has been that stalwart friend of Israel in more ways than one. And God blessed us as a nation when we stood for Israel. But I want to make this very clear. The prerequisite to blessing, according to the Bible, God says, bless Israel and I'll bless you. You say, wait a minute, you asking me to bless Israel? Yep. I'm not saying everything Israel does is right. God didn't ask us about that. I'm not saying just because somebody's Jewish that you're supposed to love on them like that. I'm not saying that. God makes it very clear that he says, I will bless the nations that bless my people. Look, you're not sinless. Isn't it sweet to know that God would say, I want you to be a blessing to my friend. Fill in your name. I want you to be a blessing to, fill in your name. You'd say, oh, that's nice. I like that. Well, the same God says, be a blessing to my people Israel. I've chosen them. But God, they're a difficult people. I know. That's why I chose them. Did you know that? That's what he says. He says, I chose them. He said to them, Book of Deuteronomy, he said, don't think I picked you because you're better than anybody else. He said, I picked you because you're stubborn. He said, I picked you because you are a stiff-necked people. You know what that means? If he can save a Jew, he can save a you, right? It's true. I love the Jewish people. They're fantastic. If you ever get in a conversation with a Jewish friend, it's amazing because they'll argue with you for an hour. And then at the end, they'll say, I believed everything you did. I just wanted to listen to you argue your point. They never stop. And God says, those are the ones that I'm going to pick. They're my chosen people. They drive everybody else up the wall. They will be instruments of my grace and my mercy. And God picked them. And you can't say anything about it. I don't like it. Too bad. He didn't ask you. By the way, there's a reason why the Jews are the most hated people on the planet. Because of God. He picked them. I think Satan hates them. Think about it. God has promised an everlasting covenant with the Jewish people. He has to keep it. You think, look, Satan can read the Bible. If he can break that, if he can mess that up, then he thwarts the plan of God. Happily, it ain't going to happen. But listen, as a nation, we need to get back to God. And I don't know what's going on in our country. Don't be fooled. Nobody else knows either. That is both terrifying and maybe great. But one of the things is this, show it on the screen, you guys. In the U.S., decline of Christianity continues at a rapid pace. That doesn't bother me. Don't let that bother you. If you read the entire article, by the way, it is huge article. It goes on to say that rapidly, drastically, membership from Baptist, Southern Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Assembly of God, Presbyterian, they're all losing people. That's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing because those entities have almost fully departed from the authoritative word of God. They departed from the Bible. Why wouldn't God call his people out? God is saying to some churches or to the people in those churches, hey, come out and be separate from them. Can you believe that? He does that. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, come out from among them. Don't hang out in a false church where Christ is not glorified, his word is not taught, and that you're not trained in the things of God that you might go out into the world and make a difference. Church is not a club. It's not to meet any standards that the world sets down as what is acceptable and not acceptable. The church is a living, breathing entity deposited to us from heaven. It was created by the Holy Spirit. It was bought by the blood of Christ. It doesn't meet some earthly or governmental requirements. It is the church of the living God. And now you can see in our age how the church will be pitted against godless governments and godless leaders. We're rapidly moving toward that even at this time. But it's a very powerful truth. The third thing is, this is where we pick it up. The third thing is all eyes on Israel. Five times in our reading a moment ago, you read the word Israel. That is fascinating, friends. Let me remind you, reading the book of Ezekiel, you're looking at a 2,600-year-old prophecy. And you read it out loud. I heard you say it. You said it five times, the name Israel. It's been in there since Ezekiel gave it. Or I should say God gave it to Ezekiel. I'm going to ask you to put your eyes to the screens in a moment to watch something, but I want to set it up. Israel. You want to know why it's a big deal? Number one nation talked about in the Bible, of course. It's the only nation in the Bible. Only nation in the Bible where God has established with them an everlasting covenant. Israel. Israel's special. It is the only nation in the world where the scripture tells us that, listen, that they will be a nation, and then because of their rebellion against God, they will not be a nation, and they'll be thrust into exile because of their disobedience. Then the Bible tells us that just before Christ comes back, he will regather his nation from all the corners of the earth, back into their own land. That's a funny thing, because 2,000 years later, these people walking around the world, they don't know that that's their own land. They've never been there before. So what God does, he sets up the country so the people can move. Are you with me? Nobody's moving right now to Mars because it's not been set up for you to move to. Well, God sets up Israel first so his people can move to it. And they move to it coming or going home to a home they've never been. And they have, and they do, and they will. What's going on? And how could this have ever happened? That a nation who was, then wasn't, becomes again. What evidence do we have that God's word is true on this point? Put your eyes to the screen.
How do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? These questions sum up what I call the Israel test. In the 1880s, European Jews settled in Mandate, Palestine, and wrought an agricultural miracle in that desolate territory. Then sparsely populated by a few score thousand Jews and a couple hundred thousand Arabs. The Jewish settlers drained malarial swamps, leached salt from the soils, terraced the barren hills, and planted millions of trees. They massively expanded the capacity of the land and enabled it to support a substantial Arab population. In the two decades between 1921 and 1943, Jews quadrupled the number of enterprises, multiplied the number of jobs by a factor of 10, and increased the level of capital investment 100-fold. Far from displacing Arabs, they provided the capital for a major expansion of Arab farms and enabled a 7-fold rise in Arab population by 1948 to a level of 1.35 million. The largest in the long history of Palestine. In other words, the Arabs came to what would soon be the state of Israel because of the Jews. By comparison, Transjordan, now known as Jordan, with the same geological endowment and four times the land, but no Jews, was able to sustain a population density only 1/10 of the population density of Palestine. Crucial to Israel's accomplishments were world-leading technological advances in the recovery of water through desalinization, drip irrigation, and sewage recycling. Over the past 50 years, Israel has increased its population 10-fold, its agricultural production 16-fold, and its industrial production 50-fold, while actually reducing net water consumption by 10% since 1948.
That's amazing.
This huge expansion of effective water resources enabled the land to support not only more Jews, but also millions more Arabs. Today, the state of Israel, with its astonishing achievements in computer science and other high-tech fields, distills both the genius of the Jews and the misdirected anger of the failed states that surround her. The great divide in the Middle East is not between Arab and Jew, but between admiration of achievement, along with the desire to replicate it, and envy accompanied by violent resentment. People who admire success, who pass the Israel test, tend to be wealthy and peaceful. People who resent achievement, who fail the Israel test, tend to become poor and violent. So again, how do you respond to people who excel you in invention, creativity, and wealth? Do you envy them? Do you feel their success somehow diminishes you? Or do you admire what they've achieved and try to emulate it? The Israel test is the central divide in the world today. How you answer it as an individual, and ultimately how we answer it as a nation, is a test of our own will to triumph over enemies who hate us, as they hate Israel, for what is best within us. I'm George Gilder, a non-Jew who has passed the Israel test.
All of that presentation, secular scientific evidence of a nation the size of New Jersey being incredibly resourceful.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Why is it that the most Nobel Prize-winning awards go to a certain ethnicity, a certain race? You say, are you kidding me? Can you say that publicly? I'm telling you, out of all the Nobel Prizes awarded since Nobel Prize was instituted, how is it that by far a particular race of people have dominated the recipient of that award? How is that? The Jew. That either causes you to be excited or sit back and say, wow. And this is in the Bible? That God is going to bless his people in the last days? Oh, yeah. Now, granted, there's tremendous trouble coming to the nation of Israel during the tribulation period. The Bible talks about that, too. But it's the only nation on earth that God has a covenantal agreement with. And if you doubt that, look to the screen now. This is kind of a quirky-looking graphic, but it's because the T-shirt had to be stretched out and picture taken of it. This is a T-shirt you can buy. It says, civilizations, nations, and empires that have tried to destroy the Jewish people. Nation, ancient Egypt. Status, gone. Philistines. Nation, status, gone. You haven't bumped into a Philistine lately. Assyrian Empire, gone. Babylonian Empire, gone. Persian Empire, gone. Greek Empire, gone. Roman Empire, gone. Byzantine Empire, gone. Crusader period, gone. Spanish Empire, gone. Nazi Germany, gone. Soviet Union, gone. Iran, maybe tomorrow's news. Iran. You never go against Israel without going against the God of the Bible. You need to know that. You go against Israel and you're going to get yourself in trouble. How do we know? Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country. Imagine that. He's just living his own life, doesn't know nothing about nothing. And God speaks to him and says, leave your country. Leave your family, your father's house, and go to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Here it is. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed if we bless Abraham's descendants. The Bible says that his descendants are none other than the Hebrew people. This is a verse that the Bible lays out flat. It doesn't ask you for your opinion. It doesn't apologize for it. It just says it. You say, I don't believe it. That's okay. But do some study as to how do nations fare when they go against Israel. It doesn't go well. What concerns me about our here and now is this news headline. This is unsettling. Report, Israel warns, quote, nothing to discuss with Biden if Persia deal renewed, or Iran. It's talking about the Iranian nuclear deal. You're probably aware of that. It's the big deal. It's the big deal in all kinds of ways. Started under the Obama administration. It was stopped during the Trump administration. And Biden resurrected it in his first few hours back into office. You know what this means? It means that it's sticking a finger right in Israel's eye and threatening the region. Isn't it amazing that the nations in that part of Europe and that part of the Middle East have said, please don't do this. We've had some really good stability right now. Those, not the Iranian people, they're precious, but the lunatic political leadership of Iran has lost their minds. And even the Muslim world wants those guys to be held in check. And Biden is saying, nope, we're going to do this. Listen, bad idea, Joe. Bad idea. Don't mess with God's people. People will say, well, I'm going to mess with them. Well, to your own peril. I don't like them. How many do you know? Why don't you? I hate Israel. Have you been? I don't like Jews. Why? You need to answer the question. Think of it. Because it's a very serious thing. Satan hates them. There's a reason for it. Sounds like Ezekiel 38. I see those people, says Gog, G-O-G. They dwell in safety. They're prospering. Look how stuck up they are. The word was confident they are. Envy. You saw it in the video a moment ago. What drives hatred? Envy. When your heart's wicked, you're envious. And when you're envious, your heart's wicked. And people have killed over envy. The Bible says they crucified Jesus because they envied him. Remarkable truth and power. The Bible tells us in Joel chapter 3, verse 1, behold, the days are coming, and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations, and I will enter into judgment with them on the account of my people, my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations, and they have also divided up my land. Are you kidding me? This is 2,600-year-old prophecy. Are you guys awake? This is 2,600-year-old prophecy, and it looks like we're talking about a UN decision last week in the news.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called What We Know For Sure, Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called Futures. It's a series on prophetic scriptures from the Bible and what they mean for us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey, you guys, we know for a fact now, having just started in the futures with you, that this study is starting to have an effect on people, and we're grateful. And so, number one, we want to encourage you to keep going. Number two, let us know. You can reach out to us at jackhibbs.com and just let us know that you are going through on Real Life Radio this now rather amazing series as it walks you through the Word of God regarding the topics in which you and I are living today. So we'd love to hear from you at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And send us a note and let us know that you're out there.
Haven't we all felt the sting of guilt when it comes to pursuing God at a deeper level? We really want to, but we're not sure how to do it while living under the pressure of life. It's why The Pursuit of God by the late author and pastor A.W. Tozer is our current featured resource. Tozer will show you how to quiet your life in God's presence, offering you hope and a new outlook on life.
The Pursuit of God is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com.
We all know that life is full of noise. The TV is on with news you often can't trust. Dishes are clanging in the kitchen and blaring sounds of rush hour traffic whiz by. It's enough to make your head spin, really. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We have special programming that can really soften the day's hectic pace. It's our Real Life Network. It's designed to give you relevant, life-changing programming for the whole family that you really can trust. Titles like Ignite Your Life by Barry McGuire, Washington Watch by Tony Perkins, Happening Now with Pastor Jack, and Star-Spangled Adventures for the Little Patriots. You can relax and enjoy entertainment for the whole family. The Real Life Network, it's available on your favorite device anytime, anywhere, so don't miss a moment that really can enrich your life with shows that inspire instead of wear you down. Sign up today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.